Well, let's take our Bibles and be turning to the book of Ephesians, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 3, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you so much for that wonderful song here this morning of encouragement, and what a beautiful message was in that song. We thank you for that. If you need a Bible, raise your hand if you would please. Go with us to the book of Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. Just hold your hand up high so you can be able to have a Bible and follow right along. We've got plenty of Bibles. Just keep your hand up so ushers can see you. Go with us to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, page 1252, Ephesians chapter 3, if you would please. I want to encourage and invite all of you to be back tonight for our evening service. That starts at 6 o'clock. Our assistant pastor will be bringing the message tonight. He is in a series of Sunday night messages, not a consistent week after week series, but in a series of messages of tearing down strongholds. And the last time he brought a message, it was on discouragement, I believe it was. And I wasn't able to be here for that message, but I listened to it on CD, and a blessing. And so I encourage you to be back tonight. He'll be covering another issue, just an issue of life that we all deal with. And I'm certain that it will be a blessing to you. I appreciate Brother Adam filling in last Sunday, and he got his shoes full last Sunday. And we appreciate his willingness and just the fact that the Lord brought him here and he was able to be here to do that. And it was a blessing. We thank the Lord for that. Haven't had the opportunity to listen to his messages yet, but I will. And I'm sure they were a blessing to you. In Ephesians chapter 4, we are studying the book of Ephesians currently here in our morning service. And as we go through the book of Ephesians verse by verse and chapter by chapter, just doing an expository study of the book of Ephesians, this morning we come to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm really going to slow down our study this morning because I want to focus on the life of the Apostle Paul and think about the example that he set forth for us here in Ephesians chapter 3, that really his example should bring some inspiration to our lives to encourage us to be better servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, but I'm really going to focus on just the first couple of verses this morning. If you're physically able to do so, I'd like for you to stand for our scripture reading. You follow along in your Bibles as I read. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you once again for the opportunity and privilege of gathering together. And Lord, what a privilege it is to open the Word of God and bring forth the eternal truths of the Word of God that can forever change our lives. We thank you for what Jesus Christ has done in our lives in saving us. We thank you for what the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God is seeking to do in sanctifying us and making us more like the Lord Jesus. And Father, this morning, as we take a look at one of your great servants in history past, I pray that his life and his example will inspire us in this year of 2013 to be greater servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has never tasted of the so great salvation that is so freely offered through the person of Jesus Christ, may today be their day that they come to by faith to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and leave here a child of God. We'll praise you for that and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the greatest servants who ever walked the face of the earth was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. As we come to Ephesians chapter 3, at the very beginning, a part of Ephesians chapter 3, specifically in verse 1, I find three keys in Paul's life that really honestly enables us to be able to say he indeed was one of the greatest servants that ever walked the face of the earth. I want you to notice, if you would please, in verse 1 that Paul had a cause for which he lived. Notice, if you would please, in verse 1 he says this, for this, what's the word? Cause. For this cause. If you think about the cause for which the Apostle Paul expended his life, he literally gave himself for a cause. And if you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians, we can see that that cause explained in the book of Philippians in a variety of ways. And just turn over to your right, if you would please, to Philippians chapter 1. I'll bring you back to Ephesians just a moment. But look over in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, if you think about the cause for which the Apostle Paul expended his life and he was living for, if you think about that cause in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 21, he expresses it like this. He says, for to me to live is who? Christ. And to die is what? Gain. If you take his life and just look at his life and say, now what did this man live for? What was the cause to which he gave himself and gave his existence on this earth for? And we sum it up in the word Christ. He was living for the person of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, his blood has washed you and cleansed you from every sin. As far as the east is far from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know for certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, according to what God says in his word, that you're on your way to heaven. There is nothing greater that you can live your life for than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every saved, born-again child of God should indeed live for Jesus. For to me to live is who? Christ. And to die is what? Gain. I'm not living for popularity on this earth. I'm not living for fame on this earth. I'm not living for fortune on this earth. I'm not living for what I can get out of this earth. Hey, I want my life to count for a person, the person of Jesus Christ, who has saved me and who is literally all the world to me. Just like the hymn says, Jesus is all the world to me. And if you're a child of God, Jesus ought to be the world to you. He was to the Apostle Paul, and he says, I've got a cause for living my life on this earth. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he goes on to express the cause in a little different fashion. Notice he challenges the Philippian believers. And he says in verse 27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And look what he says here. He's challenging the Philippians. He says that ye may stand fast in one spirit with one mind. And notice here he sums up the cause for which he was living his life and challenging the Philippian believers to live their lives, striving together. Notice what it says now, for the what? For the faith of the gospel. Can you read that phrase with me, please? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Why did Jesus Christ save us and leave us here on earth? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, the truth of the matter is Jesus could have saved us and taken us home to heaven. But he didn't. He saved us and he left us here. And you know why he's left us here? So that we will strive together, that we will work together as God's people for the faith of the gospel. We will further the message of Christ to a lost and dying world. That's Paul's life. For this cause. For this cause. He had a cause for which he was living. If you go over to Philippians chapter 3, notice what he says in Philippians chapter 3. We'll look at a couple of verses here, then we'll go back to the book of Ephesians. In Philippians chapter 3, notice what he says in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 13. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I'm not all that I want to be. I'm not where I'd like to be. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but he says, this one thing I do. He didn't say this many things I do. He said, this one thing I do. And he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Notice in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark of the what? Prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How was he living his life? He was living his life with the anticipation of an upward call coming his way one of these days, when the Lord Jesus Christ would descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ would rise first, and those which are alive would be caught up to be together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And he would hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I want my life to so count for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm keeping myself pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to please my Savior. That ought to be the heart desire of every child of God. Pressing onward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now go back with me, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Because as we come to Ephesians chapter 3, we find Paul making a statement in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. We see him making a statement, and in the context of the passage, we would say, well, what cause is he giving himself to? Well, you look here in this chapter in verses 3 and 4, notice he says, he's speaking here about making known the mystery of Christ. Notice in verses 3 and 4, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me, the Lord made known unto me, Paul, the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He says, the Lord has given me an understanding about something, and now I've committed my life to giving it out, to sharing it with others, making known the mystery of Christ. What was that mystery? The mystery dealt with the fact that the gospel message was to be taken to the Gentiles. Notice in verse 6. Verse 6 it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. If you've been with us in our study, remember over in chapter 2, the Gentiles had been excluded. Remember that? God had been dealing with the Jews. What hope did the Gentiles have? They had none. They had none. They were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They had no hope. They were without God. But now all of that has changed. And God was giving to Paul a revelation of a mystery that God was going to call out from among the Gentiles a people for his name. Then God was going to take believing Jew and believing Gentile, and he was going to do something different with them. He was going to put them in the church, the body of Christ. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Paul was one of the primary instruments in God's hand to see that this is all coming to pass. There is a transitional element taking place here in the New Testament as the New Testament church is getting underway. And we see here in verse 8, if you would please, unto me, Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the, get it now, I should preach among the who? The Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. He had a cause. He had a cause to carry the gospel to those who had not heard before, to carry the message of Christ to those who had been excluded in history past. Now God was reaching out to the Gentiles. If you take your Bibles and look over in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 7, it will give us a little insight. By the way, if you're here, not next Sunday, because we'll give a special Mother's Day message, Lord willing, but the Sunday after it, Lord willing, we'll be back in Ephesians. We'll be somewhere in the Bible, amen? We'll be in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll take you through this passage and explain to you what it means by the mystery and the dispensation and all those things in a couple of weeks. All right, I need more prayer than you've been given. Galatians chapter 2. Look what the Bible says. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7, this gives you a little insight into Paul's life. Here the scripture says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Paul is speaking there. And when he said the gospel of the uncircumcision, he was saying the gospel of the Gentiles has been committed to who? Me, Paul. He had a cause for which he was living. And he says, as the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel to the Jews was committed unto who? Peter. Now, it's not that Paul didn't preach the gospel to Jews, and it's not that Peter didn't preach the gospel to Gentiles. But the focus of Peter's ministry was primarily to the Jews. And the focus of Paul's ministry was primarily to the Gentiles. And although they were preaching to two different groups of people, their message was the same. The gospel doesn't change. Take your Bibles and look over in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. And if we look in Acts chapter 4, I want you to see Peter's message. The message that Peter preached to the Jews. In Acts chapter 4, you'll find this on page 1153 if you're using one of our Bibles. In Acts chapter 4, notice, if you would please, the message that Peter is preaching to the Jews. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 8, the Bible says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Verse 9, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole," verse 10, "be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel." Now this is Peter. Who's he preaching to? The people of Israel. He says, I want it to be known to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. It's through Christ's power and through Christ's name that this man was healed. And also, I want you to understand, verse 11, Peter says, "This is the stone. Christ is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. It was rejected by you Jews." But guess what? He's become the head of the what? Corner. You may have set him aside. You may have discarded him. You may have rejected him. You may have said, "I don't want to have anything to do with him." You may have cried out, "Away with him, crucify him." But God Almighty has taken that crucified, risen Christ and made him the very cornerstone of the faith. And Peter, in all the boldness of the Holy Spirit, says, "And neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Do you understand that statement, "we must be saved"? Through the name of Jesus Christ is true of all of us, not just Jew but Gentile alike. Salvation through the person of Jesus. That's what Peter was preaching to the Jews. You've rejected him. You've discarded him. But the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who ever paid your sin debt. You ever stop to think about that? You know, some folks want to get to heaven through their baptism. Some folks want to get to heaven through their good works. Some folks want to get to heaven through their church membership. Some folks want to get to heaven through their obedience to God. Some folks want to get to heaven through how they treat other people, etc., etc. But all those things are nice to do, but none of those things satisfy our sin debt. God says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God says that because we have sinned, there's a sentence upon us. A sentence upon us. Us, because of our sin. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." I have sinned against God. I will die. I'm glad that God sent his Son, who did no sin, and went to a cross and died in my place, who paid my sin debt. I'm all for going to church, but going to church won't get you to heaven, because it didn't satisfy your sin debt. I'm all for being good and getting baptized and those things, but those things don't get you to heaven because they don't satisfy your sin debt. There's only one person who ever satisfied the sin debt of mankind. He died on a cross to satisfy it. He arose again from the grave to prove he had. And now he's got the power to bring us life, and the Bible says there's salvation and salvation alone in him. That was Peter's message to the Jews. Paul's message to the Gentiles was the same message. Take your Bibles and look over in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, we're just thinking about the example of the Apostle Paul this morning and using his life to inspire us to be a better servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, page 1177, it's the same book. Just turn over till you find a big chapter 20, all right? Chapter 20, and you'll be in the right place. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, notice Paul and what he preached, his message, if you would please. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 17, the Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. He called of the elders of the church. He called the elders of the church." In verse 18, "And as they came to him, he said unto them." Now look what Paul said. He says, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons." He says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews." In verse 20, he says, "In hell I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." And he says, "I've showed you, I've taught you publicly, and I even went like Brother Adam does from house to house. Visitation teams." That's what Paul's saying. And look what he testified in verse 21. He says, I didn't know who was going to knock, who was going to open the door when they opened the door. I didn't know if it was Jew or Gentile. But notice what he says. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What was their message? You need to have a right view of God. The Jews had a wrong view of God, had a wrong view of Jesus Christ. They denounced his deity. They didn't believe he was God come in the flesh. And Jesus said, "If you don't believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." To have salvation, we must understand that Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God come to this earth. We must believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was God himself. That's the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. We must believe in his person. The Jews didn't have a right view of the person of Christ. The Gentiles didn't have a right view of God. What were the Gentiles? Idolaters. They were worshiping idols. What did both the Jews and the Gentiles need? Repentance toward God. A change of mind toward God. Embracing the right truth of God. Repentance is a persuasion of your mind that brings you to the truth. And as you come to the truth, you see Jesus as the sinless Son of God. You see Jesus as the Savior of mankind. And you say, "God, I'm putting my faith in the Lord Jesus to save me." And you know what God does? He saves you. For the Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And here in the book of Acts, if you look over in Acts chapter 10, in verse 43, look in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, if you would please. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, in verse 43, Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, the Bible says this. It says, "To him," to Jesus, "give all the prophets witness." Do you understand that all the Old Testament prophets gave witness of the coming of God's Son? They foretold of the coming of Christ. And it says that through his name, through Jesus' name, whosoever, look at it now, whosoever what? Believeth in who? Him shall receive remission of sins. My friend, if you want your sins remitted, if you want your sins forgiven, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to do it. He's the only one who can. Don't believe upon yourself. Don't believe upon this church. Don't believe upon your good works. Believe on the only one who can save you and forgive you of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." I don't know about you, but I believe God's word. And I believe that when a sinner comes before God, humbly before God, and says, "God, I cannot save myself. There's nothing I can do to get myself to heaven. I believe that your Son did everything for me when he died for me on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day. God, I'm just believing on Jesus to get me to heaven." I believe with all my heart, the moment a person does that, God saves them. God gives them eternal life. And they now have a home up in heaven. That was Paul's message. That was Peter's message. Paul was a great servant of the Lord. You know why he was a great servant of the Lord? Because he had a cause. He had a cause for which he was living his life. He was living his life. It was not for fun. It was not for pleasure. It was not for entertainment. It was not for himself. It was for others to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Truth of the matter is, every one of us here this morning that's saved have a great Savior who is worthy of our service. He loved us. He died for us. He's forgiven us. He has clothed us in his righteousness. We have acceptance with God the Father in him. He has secured for us a no-so salvation, not a hope-so salvation. For all of eternity, we are going to be in his presence singing the song of redemption. Amen. It's about time we served him now. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Should have had a little amen there. Amen. I'm about to lose my voice. I need yours. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're going to have to help me out a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 14, look what the Bible says. Page 1233. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, from this point on, live unto who? Themselves." But who are we to live for? The Bible says we're to live unto him which died for us and what? Rose again. We've got a person who is worthy of our lives. We have a person for whom we are to live. We have a message to proclaim, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, Jesus left us a cause. Shortly before he ascended up to heaven, he said to his disciples, "As my Father sent me into the world, so send I you." That's John chapter 20 and verse 21. He says, "As my Father sent me into the world, now I'm sending you in the world." We've got a mission given to us by the Lord himself. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we what? We persuade men." You know, people talk today about hell as though it's a laughing matter. They make jokes about it. They freely tell other people to go there. They use it as a curse word. But my friend, if we spent 1 second in hell, we would never, ever allude to hell like that again. It is the terror of God upon the sinner and his sin, because he has refused the way of escape through Jesus Christ. And when we know the terror of the Lord, we get a cause in our lives worth living. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said to his disciples, "But ye shall be witnesses unto me." Witnesses unto me. Don't take me wrong here this morning in what I'm about to say. But God's people can sit around with their praise music and go to prayer meetings and Bible studies all day long and miss the cause for why they're here on this earth. We're here to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. That's why here at Victory Bible Baptist Church, we seek to keep the main thing the main thing. That's why we have outreach activities like weekly visitation, bus ministry, vacation Bible school, teen classic, shout, ladies luncheon coming up on Saturday. With all honesty of heart, ladies, the ladies luncheon coming up on Saturday is not about you. It's about others that we can reach for Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do. It's not, it won't be a blessing to you. And it's not going to be nice for you. But it's not about you. It's about others. It's about reaching out. It's about having a cause, trying to win people to the Lord. Our support of missionaries. It's not about how much we give to missions. It's about sending missionaries and supporting missionaries and taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this morning, we've got a cause, and it's the greatest cause that anyone on this face of the earth can ever give their lives to, and that is making Christ known to others. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 3, There are three things that I see in verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 3 that I wanted to share this morning and try to use them as a means of inspiring us to greater service for the Lord. First, I see that the Apostle Paul had a cause. He says in chapter 3 in verse 1, he says, "For this cause." It's obvious. It's there. It's evident. If you miss that, you're sleeping. You got your eyes closed. What's the Bible say? Read it with me. "For this cause." For this cause. There's a second thing I want you to see. I want you to see the commitment he had in his life. The commitment he had in his life. The verse goes on to say this. He says, "For this cause, I, Paul." Now look at this. He says, "The prisoner of who? Of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." He calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, as you go through the book of Ephesians, as you're reading here, and if you would read most Bible commentaries that would make comment on the book of Ephesians, they would say that Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 1, is making reference to the fact that in the time of the writing of the book of Ephesians, he was a prisoner in Rome. And indeed, the book of Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. It was written while Paul was in prison. But with all sincerity of heart, Paul says, he doesn't say, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Rome." Is that what the verse says? He doesn't say that, does he? He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of who? Jesus Christ." Do you understand the difference in that? The prisoner of Rome, I'm the ward of the state. The prisoner of Jesus Christ, I'm the ward of Jesus Christ. He's arrested me. I'm his. I'm committed. A number of weeks ago, I explained from the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, how Paul had made reference to the fact that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. You may not remember that, so let's take our Bibles and go back there. Hold your finger here in Ephesians. I'll bring you right back. But go with me to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. A number of weeks ago, we were looking at this. It may have been an evening service, but we were looking at it. In Romans chapter 1, by the way, you miss out on a lot of things when you're not here for the evening service. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." You see that? Romans chapter 1, verse 1, do you see that? Paul, a what? Servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice he calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Now that word servant is referring to a bond servant, a bond servant. And that has reference to a voluntary servant, a voluntary servant. Back in Bible days, there was such a thing as slavery. And people were slaves. And we have a problem here, Anna. Okay, let's have an adult take care of this problem, okay? Let's take care of it real quickly and get it done. Done and over with, okay? All right? Bus kids, when you come to church, you're here to listen to the Word of God, okay? All right? Let's take care of that problem real quick. Back in Bible days, there was such a thing as servants. There was such a thing as slaves. And you could be a slave, and of course, a slave's not a real enjoyable type of life, is it? Would you want to be a slave? No. No, wouldn't want to be a slave. But it was possible back in Bible days that you were a slave and your master was very, very good to you. And you may have come to a point of being set free by your master. And he may have been so good to you that you look at him and say, "I don't want to be set free. I want to be your slave for the rest of my life." And that was referred to as being a bond servant, a bond slave, what Paul had reference to here in Romans chapter 1. They would take that servant and they would put his ear against the doorpost of the house. And they would take an awl and they would bore a hole through that person's ear. And from that point on in that person's life, every time you saw someone with a hole in their ear, you know what it said? That person is a servant by choice. Paul, as he's writing to Romans chapter 1, says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am a servant by choice, Ricky. I'm a servant by choice. I choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I voluntarily serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was committed to being a servant. Committed to being a servant. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. A prisoner by choice. By choice. By choice. He's committed. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would please. In Ephesians chapter 3, not only do we see this concept here in verse 1, where it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. But you also see it brought out down in verse 7, where in verse 7 he says, whereof I was made a, look at it now, I was made a what? A minister. He says, I was made a minister. I was made a servant of the Lord. By the way, that same word is used of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give us what? Life, a ransom for many. Jesus said, I didn't come down to be served. I come to serve. Paul was saying, I love the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for me. And I'm not trying to have him serve me. I'm serving him. I'm his prisoner. I'm his minister. Over in Joshua chapter 1, you read about the death of Moses, and you see some of the most encouraging words in the scripture about Moses. God says, Moses, my servant is dead. You say, what's encouraging about that? That's his epitaph. God wrote it. And what did he call Moses? My what? There's no greater honor in life than to be a servant of Jesus Christ. No greater honor in life than to be a servant of Jesus Christ. To serve the Lord Jesus. And you know why Paul was such a wonderful servant? Because he was committed to serving the Lord. He was committed to being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I chose that word committed on purpose this morning, because so many people in our day, our world today, want to live uncommitted lives. Uncommitted lives. That's part of the popularity of the modern church movement that's going on today. That's giving a lot of entertainment to folks, but not very little of the Word of God. Uncommitted. They go there because they can go uncommitted. You know, come as you are, dress as you are, act as you are, and leave as you are. You know, you leave the same way you came in. If you leave church the same way you came in, something didn't click. Something wasn't there that needed to be there. The Word of God changes lives, amen? Amen. The Word of God makes a difference in our lives. And God's people need to be committed people. So many people are just not committed today. You've got people who aren't committed to their marriages. They don't even get married. Why get married? I don't want to be tied down. Uncommitted. We got people who won't commit themselves to the responsibility of parenting. They just let their kids do whatever they want to do. Shame on them. We got people who don't want to be committed to their jobs. They want a paycheck, but they don't want to be committed to their jobs. They don't want to be committed to their employers. They won't be committed to a solid biblical work ethic. We got people today who don't want to be committed to church. Yeah. Well, I joined the church over there, but they believe in tithing. They don't want to be committed to tithing. They don't want to be committed to giving to missions. They don't want to be committed to being a member of a local body of believers. Yet Christ has ordained the church, and he gave himself for it. And he says that we're to come together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And my friend, if you don't see the day approaching, you got blinders on your eyes. Christ is coming. I say unto you this morning, with all the kindness that I can muster in my heart, you'll never be a great servant of the Lord until you learn to be committed. You put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. He says, you got to put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, you got to run a race. And let's look at that one, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," page 1303. Go quickly, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," the Bible says, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with" what? "Patience." You know what that word patience means? It means endurance. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. Be committed in the race and don't drop out. And don't let sin come along and sway you. And don't allow weights to defeat you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, verse 2, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, set down on the right hand of God." He finished his race. Why? Because he was committed. And thank God Jesus was committed to running that race for us. If Jesus had not run the race, if Jesus had not finished the race, none of us would have a hope for eternity. But he ran it. We have a blessed hope. And there's other people in this world who need us to run the race, to take the gospel message to them so that they might have a hope. Paul was a great servant of the Lord. Why? He had a cause. Number two, he was committed to the cause. Number three, go back to Ephesians chapter 3 real quickly. In Ephesians chapter 3, the third thing he embraced was a love and concern, a care for others. A love, concern, and care for others. For others. You see that in verse 1, chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "for this cause." He's got a cause, amen? A little weak, "for this cause." He's got a cause, amen? He says, "this cause I, Paul," he says, "the prisoner of" who? "Jesus Christ." And then notice what he says, "for you Gentiles." For you Gentiles. Paul wasn't stuck on himself. Everything in life didn't have to revolve around him. Wasn't his pleasure, wasn't his fun, wasn't his entertainment. Hey, I got to have it my way. He didn't know what Burger King was like. He wanted the Lord's way. To the Corinthians, he wrote, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." For you. One of the hymns that we have sung here at our church in times past is about others. And the words, part of the words of the hymn say, "others, Lord, yes, others. Let that my model be. Help me to live for others, that I might live for thee." Living for Christ means living for others. Every week that we live in America, it seems like things are progressively getting worse and worse. The Bible tells us that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. It is a sad day in this nation when a professional athlete can openly flaunt his sin and be heralded as some great hero by our president. It's a sad day when no one wants to think or care about others. Yeah. But that's the day we're living in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's turn there, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look at a couple verses here and then we'll be done this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the perilous times of the last days. You can believe what you want to. I believe that we're in them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous means difficult, dangerous times. We're living in difficult times. We are living in dangerous times. I believe that we're living in times that are preparing this world as never before for the Antichrist, for the tribulation period. And I believe it's rapidly coming our way. And the Lord says that when these perilous times will come, he goes on to list 19 characteristics of those perilous times. And the very first one he lists should be so obvious to every one of us here this morning. In verse 2, "for men shall be lovers of their own" what?
And doesn't that describe American society today? Our teenagers are in love with themselves. Our young people are in love with themselves. A lot of American Christians today are in love with themselves. It's just where the Bible puts it. Last Sunday afternoon, I stood behind a pulpit, First Baptist Church, Brookport, Illinois. I grew up in that church. Went to Sunday school, morning service and evening service. When I was 16 years old, my Sunday school teacher took me out to a youth meeting where I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached, where I could understand it to my remembrance for the very first time in my life, at least where I could understand it. And through that, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm glad that somebody cared for me. I'm glad that he had a friend with him. All of us in our little Sunday school class, all the teenagers, were going to meet him at a gas station. We were all going to go over this youth meeting. I'm the only teenager that showed up. The other guys went to the basketball game. And he had a friend there with him. And I looked at those two adults, and I was the only teenager, and I said, "Hey, nobody else going? I'm not going." Well, they said, "Oh, yes, you are." I said, "No, I'm not going. You know, the other guys are down at the basketball game. I'm just going to go to the basketball game." They said, "No, you're not. You're going with us." One grabbed me by one arm. The other guy grabbed me by the other arm. They put me in the back seat of his car, and guess what? I went. I heard something that changed my life forever. It was the great message of Jesus Christ and what he did on my behalf, whereby I could be saved and have a home in heaven. Last Sunday afternoon, there were two men sitting out at my dad's funeral, my Sunday school teacher, and the other man that had grabbed me by the arms, put me in the back seat of that car. They both have white hair. One doesn't have much hair, but what he has is white. My Sunday school teacher is solid white. One sat back in the back right there, and the other one sat over to my right. And the whole time I stood there bringing the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were two men there that had the biggest smiles on their faces. I'm glad those guys cared for me 43 years ago. Aren't you glad somebody cared for you and brought you the message of Jesus? Amen. It's time we cared for others. Time we cared for others. Stop living for yourself. Think about others. Realize you've got a cause. Quit playing around and get committed. Let's pray.